Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14. Ideal Family Life. Text 17. Na
Nagi
Agni Mukhato Yam Vai Bhagavan Sarva Yagya Bo Ijeta Havisha Raja Yata Vipra Mukhe Bhutai Nahyangi Mukhato Yambai Bhagavan Sarva Yagya Bho
Bhagavan Sarva Yagya Bho
Ijeta Visha Raja
Ijeta Visha Raja
Yata Vipra Mukhe Bhutai
Yata Vipra Mukhe Bhutai
Nayagni Mukhato Yambai
Nayagni Mukhato Yambai
Bhagavan Sarva Yagya Bho
Bhagavan Sarva Yagya Bho
Ijeta Visha Raja
Ijeta Visha Raja
Yata Vipra Mukhe Bhutai
Yata Vipra Mukhe Bhutai
Nahyagni Mukhato Yambai
Nahyagni Mukhato Yambai
Bhagavan Sarva Yagya Bho
Bhagavan Sarva Yagya Bho
Ijeta Havisha Raja
Ijeta Havisha Raja
Yata Vipra Mukhe Bhutai
Yata Vipra Mukhe Bhutai
Not
He
Indeed.
Agni
Fire
Mukhata
From the mouth
Or the flames.
I am this.
Certainly.
Bhagavan.
Lord Sri Krishna.
Sarva Yagya Bho. The enjoyer of the results
of all kinds of sacrifices.
Ijeta
is worshipped.
Havisha
by offering of clarified butter.
Rajan, O King.
Yata, as much as Vipra Mukhe,
through the mouth of a Brahman,
Hutai,
by offering him first class food. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the enjoyer of sacrificial offerings. Yet, although his lordship eats the oblations offered in the fire, my dear king, he is still more satisfied when nice food made of grains and ghee is offered to him through the mouths of qualified Brahmins. Srila Prabhupada, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 9, Yadyartat karmanon yatra lokayam karma bandhana. All fruit of activity should be performed for sacrifice, which should be directed toward pleasing Krishna. As stated elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhoktaram Yajyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the Supreme Lord and enjoyer of everything. However, although sacrifice may be offered to please Krishna, he is more pleased when grains and ghee, instead of being offered in the fire, are prepared as prasad and distributed first to the Brahmins and then to others. This system pleases Krishna more than anything else. Furthermore, at the present time, there is very little chance to offer sacrifices by pouring oblations of food grains and ghee into the fire. Especially in India, there is practically no ghee. For everything that should be done with ghee, people use a certain type of oil preparation. Oil, however, is never recommended for offering in a sacrificial fire. In Kali Yuga, the available quantity of food grains and ghee is gradually diminishing, and people are embarrassed that they cannot produce sufficient ghee and food grains. Under the circumstances, the Shastras enjoin Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedha Sa. In this age, those who are intellectual offer yajna or perform sacrifices through the Sankirtan movement. Everyone should join the Sankirtan movement, offering to the fire of this movement the oblations of his knowledge and riches. In our Sankirtan movement or Hare Krishna movement, we offer sumptuous prasad to the deity and later distribute the same prasad to the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, and then to the people in general. Krishna's prasad is offered to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and the prasad of the Brahmins and Vaishnavas is offered to the general populace. This kind of sacrifice, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and distribution of prasad, is the most perfect and bona fide way of offering sacrifice for the pleasure of Yajna or Vishnu. Nahyagni mukato yamvai Bhagavan sarvajagyabhu Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe utai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is the enjoyer of sacrificial offerings. Yet, although his lordship eats the oblations offered in the fire, my dear king, he is still more satisfied when nice food made of grains and ghee is offered to him through the mouths of qualified Brahmins. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Kutalejima Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Basvati Adeshtani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, the principle involved here is that the Lord is more satisfied when the devotees are served and pleased and facilitated than when attempts are made to directly please him, particularly efforts in a ritualistic, ceremonial, very formal way. Yes. But when someone offers something in a moment of devotion to a devotee, and then the devotee utilizes that and the devotee is pleased, then Krishna is more pleased. The principle is that, well, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote the little aphorism, "Love me, love my dog." That's one way of looking at it. But another example Srila Prabhupada gave in that regard was that there may be a rich person and you are trying to please that person or somehow establish a relationship with that person by approaching them in some way. So what to do? You might think, well, let me give a gift to that rich person. But that rich person may well have many of that particular item that you might offer as a gift. He might have many of a much higher quality. And therefore, if you offer him something, then actually it can end up being like a nuisance. You just get submerged in all these things. And, you know, you can only drive one motor car at a time. You can only sit in one chair at a time. And if you just get inundated with these things, you can only eat so much. And if you just get inundated with things, it can come to the point where it becomes a nuisance or worse, actually. And you might think, well, I'll offer him something very nice. I'll offer him a motor car, Mercedes Benz, and he'll be impressed. But you should know, he may already have 10 Rolls Royces, a few Ferraris, and other things like this. And for him, Mercedes Benz is just like, you know, a piece of Deutsch junk. At least something not to be taken seriously. He may just let his secretary drive it. Need a car? Use this. So Srila Prabhupada gave this example. But then, the story goes, that if you see that rich man, and he is perhaps walking in the park with his little grandson. And you go and offer the little grandson perhaps a little lolly, a little sweet. Yesterday we were in the sweet factory. We were right in the sweet factory where they're making the sweets. Interesting experience. So anyway, you may offer a little sweet to the child, and the child is impressed, pleased, happy, smiling. Life is good. I got a sweet. And the children, of course, are very expressive. And so the child is obviously delighted. And in this way, the rich man becomes pleased with you. So Srila Prabhupada gave this example to illustrate the principle that Krishna, talk about the man who has everything and, you know, who's therefore very difficult to impress by gifts or any displays of opulence. So Krishna, he literally has everything, actually. But if he sees, so he himself is not really impressed if we offer him something. But if we offer something to the devotee and it helps the devotee in his or her devotional service, and the devotee is pleased, Krishna becomes pleased with you, the donor. This is the principle. And it's a very important principle. It's extremely important, actually, to grasp this point. And it's a very personal point. It's, you know, slightly intricate personal point. How to please a person? Don't try to please them. Try to please someone else. And that will please that person. Sure, sounds a little extraordinary. But in terms of relationship, it's quite understandable. So, there are... Well, another interesting point, actually, is that in the verse, it is Narada Muni speaking. Narada Muni says that there's this practice of performing fire sacrifices, ritualistic sacrifices, and they're all extremely structured, and everything has to be done very precisely. The chanting of the mantras, for example, the pronunciation has to be just right. You cannot miss syllables, slur things, take a break, refer to your notes if you forgot the mantra. You just got to go for it and get it right. And so it's not so easy. In fact, it's very difficult. And then, of course, in the process of the sacrifice, you have to offer, at certain points in the procedure, you have to offer into the fire. First of all, you've got to keep the fire going. Anyone who's performed a fire sacrifice would know sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes the fire goes out on you. On the other hand, you don't want to build this roaring bonfire and you're meant to offer, sit by it, offer things into it, but it's too hot. You can't get close enough. You have to sit back, otherwise you'll melt down. So, you know, you've got to do it properly. Then you've got to get the pronunciation right. And at certain points, you have to offer, well, the priest, the Brahmin, or priests, Brahmins, who are performing the sacrifice sometimes, well, usually even in the types of sacrifices being referred to here, there's usually a whole team of them doing different things at different times and chanting different mantras at the same times. Different groups chanting certain mantras, others chanting other mantras at the same times and doing different things. It can be a very elaborate procedure. But then at some point, usually grains, raw grains, are offered into the fire with mantras, and ghee is offered. And that ghee, you know, ghee is such a thing that it has to be offered liquid. You can't chip off a block of ghee or something, hack it off and offer it. There has to be liquid. But in order, you know, if the yajna, if the program is going on for days or weeks, 24 hours a day, for weeks, you got to keep the ghee from solidifying. Because if it cools to a certain point, it starts becoming hard. So, it's a whole thing. And the point I was going to get at is that these yajnas, the people who actually carry out the procedures, they are Brahmins. They're qualified priests. They're qualified experienced, very, very well trained and very qualified in doing these types of things and highly knowledgeable, just as an example, in terms of the mantras, the pronunciations, and just the knowledge of the mantras. In the Sanskrit schools, at least traditionally, they would be taught so many mantras and literatures, and they'd have to learn these things off by heart. And the exams, at least part of the testing process, was that you have to recite, as an example, Bhagavad Gita backwards, syllable by syllable, not word by word, syllable by syllable, and get it right. Well, if you want a challenge, try that. If you want a challenge, just try learning Bhagavad Gita off by heart. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada's spiritual master, did at the age of 7. You know, in South Africa, normally at that age, you just go to grade 1, isn't it? You're not even allowed to go to school before you're 7. Okay, so these things were done by Brahmins. And it really, really is demanding, extremely demanding. But now, here in the verse, Narada Muni is saying that the Lord, he accepts the grains, the ghee, and the whole program, the mantras, and he's basically pleased enough. It's okay. Good, not bad. Not bad, good. But he is much more pleased. In fact, it's just like a whole different experience for him. When food is offered to the Brahmins, but they are the same people. But they're not necessarily the same people, actually. The Brahmins, particularly in this sense of offering of food to them, to the people, these are particularly Vaishnav Brahmins, or particularly just Vaishnavs. The Lord is much more pleased. There's just no comparison to the experience, how the Lord feels and how pleased he is when the devotees are offered prasadam and pleased in that way, compared to how the Lord feels when he is offered all these different sacrificial things and mantras, etc. So it's a very important point in Krishna consciousness, extremely important, and something we should really try to digest and apply: the importance, the value of pleasing those who are dear to the Lord, and how the Lord, the degree to which he is pleased and more pleased when we do that, compared to when we do anything, actually, sacrificial performance, or even ultimately anything, for his direct personal pleasure. There, Jiva Goswami in Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, in Bhakti Sandhava, Jiva Goswami makes the point that serving the devotees is a more effective way of developing love of God than trying to develop love of God. It's a very interesting and very personal conception. Krishna consciousness as distinct from many processes, ways of approaching God. Krishna consciousness, one of the, well, many differences, is that it's extremely personal, ultimately. And the dealings or the concepts and the dealings and the concepts behind them, there are all sorts of highly personal considerations. Like, in the same vein as what Narada Muni is saying here, Krishna himself says in the Bhagavatam that I am more pleased when the gopis chastise me than I am pleased by these sacrificial performances. Because those chastisements, it's all part of loving exchange. Even amongst ordinary people, sometimes, in a mood of affection and just affectionate exchange, someone wags their finger at the other person and says, oh, you know, something, something, something. But it's actually just part of an affectionate exchange. It's not that they're really saying to the person, you know, what do you think you're doing, you stupid, or something like that. It's part of a loving exchange. And all those exchanges, particularly, well, they're more or less exclusively going on in Vrindavan between Krishna and the gopis and the cowherd boys and different people, different devotees, and which sometimes involve that sort of, what would be taken on the material level could be taken as negativity, but they're very deep exchanges of love. They're very amazing exchanges of love. Just like an example, in regard to the Lord's pastimes we've been talking about the last couple of evenings, the Krishna with the cowherd boys. Krishna with the cowherd boys. They're boys. They're rough and tough. They're really quite rough and tough. And so they enjoy competing and sometimes sort of mock wrestling, and boys will be boys. This is where it comes from. It comes from the cowherd boys. Sri Sri Natai Maya Pochanga Ki. So sometimes they have these competitions. And Krishna, because he loves his devotees so much, and he's always interested in the well-being of his devotees, how they feel. So when they have these competitions, often Krishna, you know, like a running race, for example, Krishna lets everyone else win, he comes last. He can come first. What about, what to speak of coming first, my God? He's just, you know, totally in another realm whatsoever in terms of running fast. He can conclude the race within, you know, literally minus 1 second. Yeah. Not to speak of just being faster. But in minus time, he can win the race. But he lets them win. Because they're his devotees. And they're in this mood, yeah, let's just compete. But he thinks, okay, it's all right. So things happen like this frequently. Therefore, amongst the cowherd boys, Krishna has a reputation in a certain very transcendental sense. Krishna has a reputation for being a bit of a loser. Literally. So sometimes they have team games, competitions. Two teams are formed. One boy is the leader of one boy is the leader of the other. And they take turns to choose the members of their team. I'll take Hendrik, the other one. I'll take John Robbie. Yeah. I'll take him. And in the end, everyone is chosen except Krishna. And the leaders say to each other, okay, who wants Krishna? You want Krishna. And the other one says, no, you can have him. It's okay. He always loses. But it's all part of very deep loving exchange. It really is. And it's all part of the whole very personal aspect of our relationship with God, actually. It is not just this certainly not a long distance relationship, that we are here, you know, way out there in the material world, and he's way up, you know, so far away you can't see him. And that's the relationship. It's not like that at all. Ultimately. So this verse then is expressing things in these terms, that the intimate devotees of the Lord, when they are pleased in their service to the Lord, then the Lord is more pleased than if we try to directly please him. Because he's already pleased. He's already so pleased that, you know, he would just be doing you a favor by accepting your attempt to please him. That's all. He'd simply be doing you a favor. And again, we can go back to that example of the extremely wealthy materialist. That it actually happens that being given gifts becomes a nuisance. Other people are thinking, what am I getting for Christmas? But anyway, for him it may mean the nuisance of having to sit down for 1 hour to go through all the presents to see if there's one or two things he could really use. Takes time. It takes time. And you've got to think and get into it. And this happens. It actually happens. With people who are in that sort of position. Yes. So really what we're talking about here is the difference between, like, very, not over-formal necessarily, although it can easily become over-formal, but just formal types of worship according to rules and regulations and so on like that, as opposed to actual loving exchanges. And the beloved being more pleased when the person they love are pleased. So this is very nice. It's very nice. so. Not that we should think that, well, Krishna is pleased when the devotees eat. So I'm a devotee, I should start eating. Because, you know, I want to please Krishna. So bring on the samosas. Oh, I really want to please Krishna today. I'm just going to please him all day. Not in that sense. Not in that sense. Necessary. Although it could be. It could be also. Yes, so the relationship between the Lord and his devotees is very, very personal, and the Lord appreciates the efforts of the devotees. He really appreciates the efforts of the devotees. In Ramayana, there's so many very nice stories. One is the story of Hanuman and the spider. They were building the bridge to Lanka to go across to go across and rescue Sita, which necessarily included defeating Ravana. So they were building the bridge, and Hanuman and the monkeys, they are really powerful. They are picking up these big boulders and mountain peaks and things like this and carrying them down and throwing them in the sea, and they were floating. And they are building a bridge in this way. And they were just so much into it. It's their service to Ram. Jai Shri Ram. And, you know, they weren't thinking, this is hard work, we got to build a bridge, what? I'll take a break every 5 minutes and give advice. No, they were completely into it. Who can get the most rocks? Who can get the biggest? And please Ram the most by building the bridge so he can rescue Sita quicker. So there was one spider. There was one spider. And he was also a devotee. And he also wanted to help. This little spider. There's spiders and there's spiders. This was a little spider. So all he could do was pick up one grain of sand at a time. So he'd go, pick up that grain of sand, go to the edge of the water, throw it in, it would go 1 inch or 2 inches, and it would also float. And he was feeling good. I'm serving Ram. But the problem was that Hanuman and the other big, powerful monkeys, they're running up and down and just with the rocks. But because they're devotees, when, you know, a spider, an ant, or some little being would get in their way, they wouldn't just step on him. They would make sure they wouldn't step on him. And so they saw, wow, hey, what's going on? There's the spider. He's running around amongst us. We got to be careful. And it was slowing them down. Because they come running down with a rock. Oh, watch out, there's the spider. Almost trod on him, and they'd have to stop and step over the spider and be careful and keep their eyes open. And it became a nuisance. So Hanuman took the spider aside and said, listen, I know you want to please the Lord. That's nice. But if you want to please the Lord, then, you know, Stop trying to please the Lord. Just get out of the way. Because we are doing the real service here. We are building the bridge. And your grains of sand, you know, we can do without them. So that spider got really disappointed. Got so disappointed. Because he wanted to serve his Lord. He felt so strongly. And Lord Ram, as it happened, Lord Ram happened to be nearby at that time, and he heard it happening. And he came and chastised Hanuman that, don't you think that you're the big devotee doing the big service? He is doing as much service as you, according to his capacity. And I appreciate his service no less than yours. So don't treat him like that. So this is the point. The Lord is so pleased by the efforts of the devotee. And it is all very personal in terms of the devotee, his or her capacity, in whatever ways. Everything is very personalized. So what to do? What to do? Again, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is focusing on the Sankirtan Yajna. If we want to please the Lord, we shouldn't just concoct some way of pleasing the Lord. But there are processes. In this age, don't worry about those formal fire sacrifices and all that. But if you perform the Sankirtan Yajna, and to your capacity, whatever that may be, it will vary from person to person. But really, to your capacity, you try to please the Lord and help the devotees, and just play your part in the society of devotees, in helping in the Sankirtan Yajna, helping spread Krishna consciousness. Krishna becomes so pleased. Prabhupada makes the point that in Kali Yuga nowadays, to perform these big sacrifices is very difficult. I hardly know anyone who can recite the whole Mangala Charana without having to refer to a book, at least some point. And pronunciation, it's not very good. Sanskrit pronunciation is really complex. I mean, everything about Sanskrit is complex. And the pronunciation is very complex. Completely different to English. Want to speak of Afrikaans, don't tell any Afrikaner, I said that. So, yeah. But Sankirtan Yajna, Prabhupada's making the point that in India, and this was done in the 70s, Prabhupada wrote this or spoke this, in the 70s, so we're talking about 30 to 40 years ago, that then it was very hard to get real ghee. Now you can get real ghee in India from Australia. It's a fact. That's the fact. If you want, in our temples, all the ghee is from Australia. Because in India, you know, you'll get something, a tin of something, on the label it says ghee. And you think, it's ghee then. But it's not just that there's a small chance that it's ghee. There's probably no chance it's ghee. In fact, they used to use all sorts of things. And people used to die. Yeah. Like so-called, quote-unquote, edible oils edible by who or what. And people would die. And we would joke sometimes with the people. Is it, you know, if you're familiar with motor cars and things to do with motor cars, is it 30-40 or multi-grade? Means an oil for a motor car engine. So to perform these ritualistic sacrifices in Kali Yuga particularly, any time but particularly in Kali Yuga, very difficult. But the Sankirtan movement is very easy as a form of sacrifice. And assisting the devotees and participating, playing your part in the team of devotees in the Sankirtan Yagya is also, it's easy. Relatively, it's much easier. Because to do these other things, to do so many other things, to do deity worship nicely in Kali Yuga is so difficult. So difficult. It's amazing. Like, ideally, the ideal standard, part of the ideal standard, is the deity, if it's Radha Krishna, they are dressed in terms of the Ashtakaliya Leela. Means that the clothes are changed 8 times a day. Because at 8 times in the day, they go into different activities with different moods, so that clothes are changed. But the clothes are not just changed. They have to be new clothes each time. Yeah. Just like rich people, they, in many cases, they wear clothes once. Yeah. We may not know people who are that rich, but many, you know, like whoever, they buy some, we were speaking the other day about Gucci, and people would think, ah, Gucci, if I could get some Gucci, I'll save up. But these people, Gucci, whatever it may be, they may have their own tailors, who only prepare clothes for them and nobody else. And they only wear the clothes once, and then they're distributed. Just like about in the time of, in Vedic times at least, like Dwapara Yuga, then people would use, at least the aristocracy, the Kshatriyas, eating. They would use gold plates, because gold is the best. Gold is best. Next is coconut palm leaf. Then is silver. And then plastic paper. You're in Kali Yuga. You're completely in Kali Yuga. They would use the gold plates once and throw them away. Gold, solid, not plated, literally solid, and, you know, 22 carat, not 9 carat, where it's more just some alloy, and it's less gold than the alloy. Yeah, so Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is so degrading, incredibly degrading in many ways. I was reading just a couple of days ago, someone sent me a story from Mahabharata. Bhima was waiting, and he was just sort of standing around, he was there. Outside Maharaj Yudhisthira's like meeting room, where he would meet people, and people, that the citizens would come. There would be like citizens' hour every day. Anybody could come and just present anything to the king. So Yudhisthira was there receiving people and speaking with them, and Bhima was outside, and one man came. And he said, you know, I've got a serious problem. I want to speak to Yudhisthira. And Bhima said, well, what's the problem? And the man said, you know, I have a garden, a walled garden, but the wall is moving in, the wall is encroaching and is eating the plants. How is it happening? And Bhima said, wow, I have no idea. You better ask Yudhisthira. So the man went in. Then just seconds, a minute at the most later, another man came in anxiety. Oh, I got to see Yudhisthira. I've got to ask him about something. Bhima said, oh, well, what's your question? The man said, you know, I got this big bucket of water. And what I did, I poured it into five smaller little buckets. And then for whatever reason, I poured it back into the big bucket. There was less. There was less. I can't understand it. What's going on? And Bhima said, wow, I got no idea. You better ask Yudhisthira. Then a third man came. Anybody know the story? What did the third man? What was the third man's problem? Well, I'll tell you what the fourth man said. The fourth man came. I'll try and remember the third man. A fourth man came and said, you know what happened? Wow, I got to ask Yudhisthira about this. Bhima said, well, what's the problem? The man said, there was a mountain. It's just rocks. And there was one little plant growing out of it. And I pulled on the plant to pull it out of the mountain. The whole mountain collapsed. That was the fourth man. Any of you know the story? Who was the third man? The third man. Anyway, I'll tell you about the third man tonight. But anyway, they all went in to see Yudhisthira. And Bhima was there. He was just bamboozled. What is happening? So he decided, I'm going to go in and hear what Yudhisthira says. He went in, Yudhisthira was alone. And Bhima said, where are those four men? Yudhisthira said, four men? Which four men? Well, the ones I just sent in. No, there's no four men. Nobody came in here. What? Which four men? Tell me about them. And Bhima said, well, and then he explained. Yeah, the man with the wall around the garden, the man with the bucket of water, and the third man. And then the fourth man with the little plant, and the whole mountain collapsed. And Yudhisthira jumped out of his throne, said, where are they? Get them! Catch them! Tie them up! Bring them here immediately! And now Bhima is just bewildered in another way. What is it? Who are these people with these crazy questions? And Yudhisthira said, they are personifications of Kali Yuga. Yeah. But it's not time for Kali Yuga. Why are they coming now? Get them. Tie them up. Stop them. So he explained. The man whose wall around his walled garden was encroaching and eating the plants. Yudhisthira said, "This means that in Kali Yuga, the authorities who should be The third man, he said, "You know, I've got an elephant." Okay, people had elephants in those days. But you know what happened? He walked through a hole in the wall. As he was coming through on the other side, his tail got caught in the hole. He got through, but his tail got caught in the wall. And again, Bhima's like, "What? This is absurd." So anyway, okay. So then Yudhisthira said, the first man, what he represents is that in Kali Yuga, the people who are meant to protect, like the wall is there to protect the plants, so people don't steal them. The people who are meant to protect people from being attacked, from being robbed, from being exploited and abused, they themselves attack the people and abuse the people and steal from the people. You know, just look at the ANC. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. It's Kali Yuga. And the man with the bucket of water, and he poured the water into the five other little things and poured it back, it was less. This is like parents in Kali Yuga. They put so much energy into their children. And when the children grow up, then they don't reciprocate. And they may sort of help their parents out a bit, stick them in an old folks' home. But the input they give is less than what the parents gave them. This is part of Kali Yuga. And the elephant going through the wall, he's an elephant, you know, a real elephant, but his tail got stuck, means that in Kali Yuga you have to buy justice. Some little ordinary person does some little small criminal thing, gets arrested, locked up. But the big rich man, he does some way out criminal thing and he just pays his way out of it, no problem. No problem. I know one person, I don't think any of you know him, he was a devotee, Hare Krishna. He became, would you believe, a mandrax dealer, importer. He imported like thousands or tens of thousands of mandrax pills. The police found out and arrested him. He just walked out of the police station. He just walked out. They caught him with it. And they're like 100,000 mandrax pills or something, just, you know, totally bizarre. They caught him completely red-handed, took him into the police station, he walked out, and he never went back in. And people asked, "What happened?" He said, "Well, they dropped the charges." And the last man, there's this mountain, all these big rocks, little plant growing out, and I pulled the plant out, the whole mountain collapsed. Yudhisthira said, "This is another thing. In Kali Yuga, you just chant the holy names of the Lord, and Kali Yuga is finished. The whole mountain, which would otherwise crush you, a mountain on top of you, you know, what would it do? You just practically become non-existent. But just one little thing, you chant the holy names, whole mountains finished, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was just thinking, so this verse basically says that Krishna is much more pleased by personal relationships than ritualistic ones.
Well, yes.
I was just thinking that maybe it's also because all the personal relationships seem to spread mercy, as in the Sankirtan movement, or when it's pastimes, then someone can write about it, like the Bhagavatam, and other people can read about these personal relationships, and in that way the mercy is just spread so much more.
Well, that may be an element to some degree in the picture, but it's more just the personal, directly personal side of it. Yeah. But that's a nice point. Sure. Good. Increasing the circle of devotees. Increasing the people who please Krishna means increasing the pleasure of Krishna. You get more people, and now more people are trying to please Krishna. Krishna gets more pleased. So, yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that another element of this verse in the discussion, you know, seen from the point of view of the whole chapter, this is very important for householders to actually, you know, take the trouble to feed?
Okay, that's a very good point.
Because that's the discussion yesterday.
That's true.
The sacrifices of the
household. That's true. That's a very good point. Right. Yesterday we were talking about that. Well, the verse was saying, Narada Muni was saying that the householders should have money, you know, not in the sense of just becoming rich, 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 but they should have money so to keep the household situation together nicely. But they should have enough money that they can use it in sacrifice. And they can use it in the service of the Lord. So, yeah. So they can use money and their energy also to please the devotees and help Krishna consciousness. And that will please the Lord more than if they just do fire sacrifices, which are, you know, hardly practical very much at all anyway in Kali Yuga. But if the householders make that effort to please the devotees, like we mentioned yesterday, Prabhupada's father, every day, 7 days a week, for years, he invited people off the street to come and eat. For like at least 20 years, that's a lot of people. You know, when you look at it, to feed for 20 years two people a day, that's expensive. But he did it, even though he was not wealthy, and he didn't bother about trying to become wealthy at all. So in general, it's very important for householders to be generous and not be miserly. Yeah.
Actually, some Indian families really understand this point. I remember when I was a bhakta in London, there were some families that would actually invite the devotees en masse just to feed them.
Right.
You know, understanding this point, that actually if we feed the Lord's devotees, we're going to make so much benefit.
Right.
There are quite a lot of families like, you know, they believe it brings sweets to the Sunday feast, and they will distribute to the devotees. So there's a lot of Indian families who understand this point very well, actually.
Right, that's true. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
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 Jai.